the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself. State the item of business that it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber for the duration of discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. Proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. Members should remember that the microphones work as a queuing system. If your microphone is lit red, you have precedence. Flashing green is next in the queue and then solid green. Please do not press your microphone button again when it is lit up red, as you will lose your place in the queue. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments that they make at the meeting. There has been a request for an emergency notice of motion this evening, and this will require a suspension of standing orders under Standing Order 16.1 by a qualified majority vote, which means 80% of those members present and voting. And this will be dealt with when the motions are being discussed. Okay, item one. Have we any apologies?
Chair, with apologies from Councillors Andrews, Fahey and Tinley.
Okay, have we any apologies for them, those three from the floor? Councillor Derry Finn.
Councillor Campbell, Councillor McAvoy and Councillor Kate Murphy. And Roisin's online.
Okay. Got all those. Oh. Okay, under Chairperson's remarks, I first want to welcome our special guest to the Council meeting today. So over at the left side of the room, we've got Corey Brownfoot and his family, who I had the pleasure of meeting in the Chairperson's room there. And I know he had a great experience being shown around the Council chambers by Councillor Alan Lewis. Corey, unfortunately, had an incident of bullying that he's not going to let get him down. And we've committed going forward that he's going to work with me in the St. Patrick's Day Parade in Downpatrick. And we'll keep in touch because he needs a wee bit of help with his maths homework. So I've shared my mobile number, and I think he's sending me a few questions for his homework later on. But a great lad, and I hope you enjoy your experience at Council and your experience at this meeting. Hopefully it's friendly enough for you at this meeting. I want to offer on behalf of the Council our condolences to the family of Daniel Greer, who sadly passed away following a long battle at 16 years of age. Daniel's from Clog. And on behalf of the Council, I want to pass the condolences of the Council to his parents, Paul and Anne, and his brother, James, on his sad, untimely passing. It's been a while since Eats and Beats had just happened. Two or three days after the last council meeting, so it seems like an eternity ago. But I want to thank all the staff that worked tirelessly to put on the festival. It was absolutely fantastic. It got great weather this year. I met many of the councillors in this room at it, and we had a great time with the bands there. But it's going from strength to strength every year, and especially the two stages work really, really well. It's fast becoming a staple on the calendar. I've said since I became chairperson that Newcastle is the hub of all activity across this council, and it certainly is. I think every week in the Dairy, you have 10 events in Newcastle. But that weekend, we had Eats and Beats and the Irish Open. And the Irish Open was an absolutely fantastic way to showcase this whole area. And I took the time to spend an hour and a half at the council tent where we were promoting the area. Mourns, Ringogullion, Strangford, Lochiel. And the amount of people coming in to get information on the area wider than the Irish Open Festival was astonishing. So let's hope that we get return visitors from that. But well done to all the staff that were working on it as well. This month, the pleasure to launch the Anne McGeaney Trust. Anne McGeaney, who sadly passed away 10 years ago, who was a fierce advocate in South Armagh and community work. And the Anne McGeaney Trust is open for small grants for people to promote positive work in groups of women. So it's small grants up to £1,000 to try and put on programs for women across the community. So the details of that will be going out in the next couple of weeks, and they've asked that I share their mission tonight and that people are aware of it. So keep your eyes peeled for that. I want to congratulate the Confederation of Community Groups for for celebrating their 50th anniversary this year. We had a civic reception on Tuesday night for them. They all had a great crack on the night. But we had the week before, the Friday before, they had a volunteer recognition event. And I know a number of councillors in the room were at the volunteer recognition event in the Canal Court. And it was fantastic because the Confederation of Community Groups, although it's an umbrella organisation for all the community groups in the area, when you bring everybody in, or the majority of people in under one roof, it goes to show the amount of good work that's going on in the community and the variety of groups there. It was an absolutely brilliant night with a quiz and comedians. So well done to them and well done to them for their 50 years service. Let's look forward to the next 50 years. I also want to thank everybody who nominated a recipient for a civic award. It was an absolutely fantastic night with a diverse array of recipients on the night. You can only go away from events like that proud of the area that you come from. And when you listen to the stories and the unselfish work that people do right across this district, is truly stunning. So congratulations to everybody that won a civic award, that received a civic award, and to Sheila and Sarah for putting on the night. I thought it was a phenomenal night, and the setup was really, really good. So thank you very much, Sheila and Sarah. I also just want to congratulate, join with Philip Campbell, Councillor Philip Campbell, and congratulate the Saul Ladies and Management Team on winning the Intermediate Football Championship last Saturday, and also highlighting the league win and the subsequent promotion. So well done to the Saul Ladies and Management Team. A few of our councillors got the opportunity to go up to Belfast, to the SSE Arena, to celebrate the success of our Olympians right across the north, and it was an absolutely fantastic night. Oh, Councillor Lewis and Councillor Hannah was there as well. And David and myself were there, and it was absolutely brilliant to see all the sports stars coming together, all the Olympians coming together, and to listen to really encouraging words from the Minister about how sport brings people together across all communities. And I thought it was a really, really good night up in the SSE. And finally, I just want to congratulate everybody who was either nominated or won a Morani Award, and we had the award ceremony up in the Titanic Centre last week, and that's the awards for the minority and ethnic minority awards right across the north. So it was a stunning night of different cultures and music, and congratulations to everybody that was either nominated or won an award. Okay, moving on to item two, any declarations of interest? No. Okay, item three is the action sheet arising from the council meeting held on the 2nd of September 2024. And going through page by page, we page one, page two, page three, page four, and page five. Can I get a proposal and second? Proposed, Councillor Bowsey. Second, Councillor Finnegan. Thank you. Manners raised. Nope. Okay, moving on to the minutes now. So, item four is the minutes of the council meeting held on the 2nd of September 2024. So, going through page by page, we page one, page two, page three, page four, page five, page six, page seven, page eight, page nine, page ten, page 11, page 12, page 13, page 14. Councillor Shavin.
Just proposed.
Proposed by Councillor Shavin. Can I get a seconder? Councillor McGuinness then, first. Councillor Andy McGuinness. Okay. Moving on to item five, which is the minutes of the special council meeting held on the 27th of August 2024. And page by page, we page one, page two, page three, page four, page five, page six, page seven, page eight, page 9 and page 10. Can I get a proposal and seconder? Yep, thanks, Councillor Cairns. Seconder? Councillor Hanlon, thank you. 10. Okay, and item 6 is the minutes of the special council meeting held on the 23rd of September 2024. And again, page by page, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, 8-5. Yeah, proposal and seconder. Councillor Clark? Yep. Councillor O'Hare? Thank you. Yeah, that's all the council ones done. So we'll move on to the committee minutes. So item 7 is the minutes of the Economy, Regeneration and Tourism Committee held on the 9th of September 2024. Again, page by page, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, and page 6. Can I get a proposer and seconder?
I would propose.
Councillor Lewis, propose. Thank you, David. Any issues or matters arising? Nope. Okay, moving on to item 8 is the minutes of the Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee held on the 12th of September 2024. And again, page by page, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10. I get a proposal and seconder. Thank you, Councillor O'Hare. The second, Councillor Quinn. Thank you, Councillor O'Hare and Councillor Quinn to propose the second. Any matters arising or issues on SVNO? No. Nope. Okay, moving on to item 9, which is the minutes of the Active and Healthy Communities Committee held on the 16th of September 2024. And we've got page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4. On page 5, isn't it? Page 6, page 7, and page 8. Proposal and seconder. Councillor Finnegan and Councillor McGuinness. That's her, yeah. Any matters arising? No. Okay, item 10 is the minutes of Sustainability and Environment Committee held on the 18th of September 2024. We've page 1. Page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, 6. You, Councillor Young, propose. Get a second for asking me. Thank you very much. Yep. You manage raising? Nope. Okay, moving on to the correspondence report at item 11. We have three items of correspondence, 11.1, 2 and 3. So the item 11.1 is the Department for Communities correspondence, point 2, Department for Community already denotes a motion around the winter fuel payments, and then the correspondence from NI Water on the economic constraints. So I'll take any questions, just state the item of correspondence that you want to speak to. Councillor O'Hare.
That's actually me. I don't know why it's coming.
Okay, Councillor Finnegan, yeah.
Thanks. So, just speaking on 11.2, the correspondence from the Department of Communities on the winter fuel payments. So, just Sinn Féin welcomes the Minister's correspondence, which echoes this Council's frustration at Keir Starmer's government for its decision to limit the winter fuel payment. While we appreciate the commitment to development, the anti-poverty strategy that we now what we now need is to concentrate on action to protect the most vulnerable in our society. The Affordable Warmth Scheme mentioned by the Minister, which was introduced to tackle fuel poverty, is now stretched to its limits due to underfunding. This has rendered the scheme non-targeted and slow in delivering much-needed assistance. This is just one example of how a decade of Tory austerity has consistently stripped public funding. People's trust and confidence in the Labour Party is being undermined and its pursuance of Tory policies. It is crucial that the Minister focuses on delivery to protect those who narrowly missed out in the winter fuel payment, and pressure must be, continue to be applied on the British Government to ensure that people here can live in warm and safe homes. Gormila Mayocas.
Thanks, Councillor Finnegan. Councillor Murphy. See, when you come in, Glenn, just don't press your light, because Councillor Fagan, I have to take it. Go ahead now. So, there's you in there, Glenn. Councillor Hannah, and then it'll be
It's 11.3, I'm on the chair.
Yep.
A response from the
NI Water. I think it's an extremely disappointing response, to be quite honest with you. They talk about infrastructure and one thing or another, and I'm, to be quite honest with you, for the 1,300 units just to be sitting on, totally on hold there from our Glass Valley, Horden, Bestwood, Glock Gore, I think that's how you pronounce it, Doris Cross, Down Patrick, Drummond, Birch Pass, Kilkeel, Killalane, Urey, and Simfield. Quite honestly, I'm on the planning committee and we're working on the local development plan, so we are, and it's been going on for some number of years now. And for us to start zoning houses, and then, but quite honestly, this is just a pretty much a veto on all development. Should it be dwelling houses? Should it be business properties? It's pretty much just a veto and a dead stop and everything. And I know that the planners take it item by our application by application. But what's basically happening now is that there's a dead stop in a lot of the developments there is. And housing is needed. Should it be social housing or new developments? The population is growing all the time. And for this year, for NI Water to come out with this year is actually, believe it or not, I think it's demeaning on everybody, so it is. They need to get themselves sorted. They need to get themselves working. So they, I know they're using the excuse of no money. I think they should be using and doing things a bit more efficiently, so they are. They're going to have to find the money from somewhere, so they are. And just local development plan, it's actually nearly irrelevant there if this does not get sorted out. It's so disappointing. So they talk about figures of money and one thing and another, and it's actually getting us absolutely nowhere here. Just a simple one, just before I left the house, there's Amalong. It's overdeveloped as it is. The sewers are not fit to cope with it. There's a dual storm system and sewer system in there, and the manholes just blew the tops off them. It's going to be raining tomorrow. I've been out cleaning up this evening, so it'll be exactly the same tomorrow again. You know, it's just distressing for everybody to see excrement actually over the footpaths, over everywhere. And for them to come back and actually say all this here and actually give us no indication of how they're going to move forward with it, I just think it's a total disgrace, that is. Into the council owned harbour. That's where it's flowing at the moment, so there's some of it. It's floating away with the tide. The Northern Ireland Environment is. But just on saying that, it's just so demeaning that is and disrespectful. Something needs to be done with it. I said to Connor at the last meeting, so I did, that the local development plan is really irrelevant now because of this. So on this here, I'm just want to register my total disappointment on the response. It's going nowhere, so it's not. I just don't know what to say about it, so I don't. I really do not know. It just is so disappointing. I know I'm sort of a bit of a rant there, so it is, but there is a problem, so there is, Marie. I know you're raising your eyebrows, but there is a problem, so there is. It needs resolved, and I don't know if that doesn't really satisfy me. That I'll have to think about this, what I'm going to do. I only seen it there a week while ago. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I'm just going to take Marie in.
Yeah, Chair, just to say that we would continue to work with NI Water. It's work with them as a council.
Councillor Murphy.
Thanks. Well, this is in relation to 11.1, Section 10 regulations. You know, I definitely welcome the fact that private landlords need to bring in a qualified electrician to take a look at, you know, the wiring and dwellings and stuff like that, and, you know, do a report. However, it doesn't need a wee bit of clarity around this. While an electrician in the report may say that remedial work is required to be done, there's nothing to say, you know, that there's any sanction against a landlord who doesn't comply. You know, so if the work needs to be done, at least I can't see it anyway, unless somebody else knows more about it. But it doesn't seem to be any point. You know, what is the point in bringing in new regulations to point out a problem if nobody's obliged to do anything about it? You know, and that is the reason why this was required, that landlords would then be obliged to actually get the, particularly wiring, you know, that can lead to a fire, get it fixed. You know, so maybe if we could get more clarification on that.
Chair, we can certainly ask for clarity just on what action would be taken against a landlord, and maybe ask Sinead to back an update report to the Sustainability and Environment Committee just on what actions would be taken for failure to comply.
Thanks. Councillor Murphy.
Councillor Fahan.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. My question is in relation to 11.3 as well. The letter from NI Water, and I share a lot of Glynn's frustrations there. That's the second dour letter that we've got from NI Water in as many months. And excuse me, they're obviously able to point to the problems that exist and where they exist, and that's helpful up to a point. But at a certain point, they're going to need to be addressed. And I'm looking at a statement from NI Water on the 7th of February 2023, in which they say that during the price control 21 period, 2021 to 2027, the Newry Morne and Down District Council area will benefit from approximately £109 million in capital investment in upgrading water and wastewater assets. So I was wondering whether we would be able to write to NI Water to ask them how much of that £109 million capital investment has been spent, because we're halfway through that period, when the remainder is going to be spent, and if that full £109 million is spent, is that going to address all the issues that they've raised in their letter, or is additional capital going to be required? Because, you know, £109 million doesn't sound insubstantial. So I'd like to know how much of that's gone, how much of it's left, when the rest of it's going to be spent, and is that going to be enough to fix the problems? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor Fahan. Do I propose it? Can I get a seconder? Yeah. Everybody content to write back? Can I water the clarification? Yep. Thank you, Councillor Fahan. Councillor Sharma.
Thanks, Chair. Mine is in relation to the winter fuel payment. And as members will note, we did have a proposal or proposed amendment of the motion, which didn't pass, and then a second one that did pass. I suppose my concerns in relation to the response from the Minister, and I take on his points that he didn't really have much consultation or choice in relation to the changes by the UK government. But I think it's also concerning to read that we're probably not going to see anti-fuel poverty strategy before March 2026. So over a year and a half, we'll have to wait on an actual strategy that will address. And you have to ask yourself, what will those that are the most vulnerable will do within that period of time, particularly those that won't benefit from a winter fuel payment this year? It's most likely they will not benefit from one next year, given the letter that has been shared. But given my amendment that was accepted, where we were asking to write to the all parties of the executive to work together to find a solution, I don't see a response from all other executive parties to this council. Only the Minister Lyons, who did take the time to respond quite detailed. So it would be interesting to see what the other executive parties are saying that they are doing in partnership with the Minister to address the concerns. I'm sure, as most parties know, there was a large group of pensioners at Stormont today sharing their concerns and frustrations of the challenges that they will face in this winter coming, and unfortunately from this letter, the next winter as well. So we just want to see if we did get a response from any other executive parties, or are we taking the Minister's response as a collective?
Thanks, Gareth. Can I get clarity that the correspondence was sent out to all departments?
Yeah, Chair, this is just the response that we've received. We can follow up.
Right, thanks. Yeah.
Thanks, Gareth, for that. Any other questions on the correspondence?
No.
Okay, we'll move on to the motions. So, item. Sorry, proposed and seconded to note the correspondence. We'll take it all together, the three items together.
Proposed, Chair.
And Councillor McAteer to second. Councillor Sharp and proposed, and Councillor McAteer to second. Okay, item 12 is the notice of motion for the programme for government. And this notice of motion is from Councillor Truesdale. So I'll ask Councillor Truesdale to read out your notice of motion, tell us who's seconding it, and then you can speak to the motion.
Thank you, Chair. The motion reads that this Council welcomes publication of the draft programme for government by the Northern Ireland Executive, agrees that the PFG should include a standalone mission on peace and peace building, further agrees that peace building, reconciliation, equality and inclusion are vital to achieving the key ambitions in the programme for government, notes that political instability and societal division are major barriers to a growing Northern Ireland economy, improving public services, tackling poverty and supporting communities, and agrees to write to the First and Deputy First Minister to call for the inclusion of a mission on peace and peace building in the programme for government before the public consultation deadline on the 4th of November 2024. And this will be seconded by Councillor Lee Surger. But we all welcome the programme of the publication of the draft programme for government, the PFG 24-27, and it does include a number of important objectives and priorities. But we believe as a party that there's a significant gap in the lack of a dedicated mission on peace and peace building. This will ensure that reconciliation, diversity, equality and inclusion are embedded in everything the executive does. It is a fundamental component of delivering a better future here, without which many of the missions and priorities of the PFG will not be achieved. Division is costing Northern Ireland hundreds of millions of pounds every year, and that directly depletes the resources that we have to tackle waiting lists, provide more social housing, reform special educational needs provision, increase police numbers and deliver many of the other objectives in the programme for government. The continued impact of paramilitarism, a toxic legacy of the Troubles that plights communities across Northern Ireland, represents a direct block on many of the priorities underpinning the programme for government, including preventing homelessness, creating safer communities, improving mental health outcomes and ending violence against women and girls. A wealth of international research and evidence has underlined the links between political stability, peace, good government and foreign direct investment. Our economic growth depends on values, peaceful communities and political stability. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Truesdale. And seconder?
Yep, happy to second.
Yeah. Thanks, David. Councillor Reilly.
Chairman, I believe in equality and inclusion and diversity. It's a pretty nebulous word, to be honest. But I think government throughout the Western world are going totally over the top on these issues, and they're actually weakening our competitiveness rather than increasing it. And, Chairman, I believe if you're Protestant, Catholic, black, white, gay, straight, you name it, whatever you are, that's your business. But whenever you're being judged for a position or for a position of responsibility, it should be done solely on merit. And all this other stuff should not be brought into the equation whatsoever. And I think it's a nonsense. And I think the Alliance Party already has a minister in place in Stormont where the argument could be articulated among ministers, among their peers. But yet we have councillors down here in Uri Morning Down trying to influence what their colleagues do in the executive. It just seems a bit lopsided and daft, to be honest. But, Chairman, I go back to this diversity, inclusion and equality agenda. It's wrecking. And if you look at the United States, where all this stuff originated in many ways, a lot of the big companies, a lot of the public sector bodies are actually starting to roll away from it because it's been a disaster in terms of people getting appointed because of who they are or what they are rather than on their ability. And even the floods in North Carolina this week, the tragedy there in that Scotch-Irish heartland, the statutory authorities that have let them down so badly are all DEI appointments. So I think that speaks for itself. If you're not fit for the job, you shouldn't get it, regardless of what your religion or background is. It should be solely on your ability to do that job. And you should be able to do it better than anyone else, and that's where you get the position, and not based on any other aspect of your personality. Thank you, Chairman.
Thanks, Councillor O'Reilly. Councillor Murphy?
Yeah, the reason why I'm going to speak on it is because, as we were confused by the motion and Henry's interpretation, I'm not too sure if that's exactly what you intended, that this was going to have some impact on how people are employed. Now, to be honest with you, I was hoping, you know, after I read the motion that, you know, when you were sort of giving your explanation, that it would put a wee bit more substance to what exactly you're hoping to achieve. The difficulty I would have with this is just I don't fully understand what type of an impact you're expecting from this. We since 1994, with the peace process and, you know, the ceasefires, had the SEUPV, obviously, was brought in by the European Commission to do a lot of the work that was supposed to be peace building within the North. The jury is still out on, you know, what kind of a job they have done. What I would rather have seen, or what I'd like to see, is some type of inquiry into SEUPV just to give us some measure of, you know, exactly what they have achieved with almost over $1 billion of funding that they have has been pumped into the North since 1994. Really, that's the other thing about it is you're talking about, you know, instability and, you know, political instability and societal division. You know, there's a lot of areas that really, really do need this money. And, you know, from my experience, SUPB have skipped over many of those areas that have come out of conflict. And they would include loyalist areas. You know, I would say an awful lot of those areas simply have been ignored. And some of the parties are, you know, around this table, you know, I don't see them advocating as much as they should have. I'm not talking about unionist parties, I'm talking about on all sides. You know, that's where I think the focus should be. You know, how you spend the money that already exists. I'm not too sure how a mission on peace and peace building is going to have any impact. Or what exactly it's going to entail. The other thing about, and Henry has mentioned it, you know, obviously you have a seat at the table of the executive, you know, and I'd like to know, has this been brought by your party to the executive office? Have you proposed this to NILGA? I know they're out for have the PFG out for consultation, and, you know, they're looking for input from councillors, etc., with regards to the PFG. Have you made any proposal to NILGA? But because I'm just not too sure exactly what this entails, I find it very hard to support it. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Murphy. Councillor Bowsey?
There is in the announced programme for government agreed by all four executive parties included three main missions. They were people, planet and prosperity. DUP is pleased to have secured several manifesto commitments within it, such as affordable childcare, action on waiting lists, better support for special educational needs, action on housing, prioritising economic growth and increased police numbers. These three agreed themes offer a positive and focused programme for government. However, it should be noted that a commitment to peace is in fact already in the programme for government. The document states, by focusing on people, planet and prosperity, we will shape a fairer and more peaceful society. Our cross-cutting commitment to peace will make sure that everyone feels the benefit of a growing economy, improved environment and a fairer society. And then on page 80, it goes on to list tangible peace-building initiatives the executive will develop and refresh. So I'm unsure why Alliance have proposed this motion, as though they didn't agree in the executive to this, and as though peace isn't already in the programme of government when it's actually given quite a central role already. I would argue an elevated role. Instead of just being a fourth mission that dilutes the others, it's actually the sole underpinning commitment for the whole programme of government. So with that being said, we commend the executive for their hard work in agreeing to this programme for government for the next 3 years, and we won't be supporting a call to make unnecessary changes to it.
Thanks, Councillor Bowsey. Councillor Sherwin.
Thanks, Chair. I suppose I had notes written, but very similar questions as Councillor Murphy raised, which are very valid. And as Councillor Bowsey's touched on, you know, was this raised in the executive? And hopefully the Councillor Truesdale, as the proposer, can provide a bit more detail to exactly what the motion is asking for and what the outcomes will be. But I suppose whenever you sit around this chamber and as a person of the public, we all should be welcoming a programme for government. But when you consider the draft programme for government, I think we all can recognise the absence of clear and measurable objectives. And it's vitally important that the executive parties do work together to introduce specific measurable and time-bound targets, not only on peace and peace-building, as called for by this motion, but not limited to waiting times, child poverty, childcare costs, biodiversity loss, social housing, water and wastewater infrastructure, before the draft programme for government can be approved. It's even more so that important priorities such as reducing child poverty has been left absent altogether, similarly to the call by this motion for a standalone mission for peace and peace building. There are no targets saying what will be improved, by how much or when, giving the executive a get out of jail free card if things do not improve at all. As many of us know in this chamber, and as we as a council ourselves do, targets help signal priorities and communicate them clearly to those responsible for delivering public service while increasing accountability between government and the public. Their absence here hints at a lack of ambition and transparency. Chair, I was going to propose a number of amendments, but I am interested in the proposer coming back on the number of valid questions. You know, the motion doesn't talk about any clear targets or objectives against what this mission is aiming for. It also states that it be written to the First and Deputy First Minister, but as I touched on at the start and touched on by others, the Alliance Party is part of the executive. It is the executive that agreed the draft of programme for government, so surely we should be writing to the executive rather than the First and Deputy First Minister. But I'll not propose that amendment right now because we as a party are unclear of exactly what this motion is hoping to achieve. So hopefully the proposer can come back in on summing up to make it clear to the whole chamber of what is the objective of the motion.
Yeah, thanks, Councillor Sharpin. And I will go back to the proposer of the motion to clear up some of the questions that we got around the floor because after I go to Councillor Taylor, because in order to support or not support a motion, we need to know exactly what we're voting on, the valid questions. And I will come back to Councillor Truesdale after the next speaker. So, Councillor Taylor.
Yeah, Chair. Listen, I was probably going to make similar points to what has already been made by fellow councillors within the chamber, because whenever I did see the motion, probably the very little detail on what it actually meant. Obviously, whenever you're voting on anything, you want to know exactly what it entails and what the objectives and what the, I suppose, a clear outline of it would be. And I was surprised, I suppose, given the fact that the programme for government has been produced, and whilst it is in draft form at this stage, we do have a situation where the executive has two alliance ministers within it. And I haven't heard any alliance minister at this stage outline any concerns as to what's been outlined in this notice of motion. I'm obviously not privy to the intimate discussions that took place in terms of producing the programme for government. But again, that can be clarified by Councillor Truesdale, I'm sure, in her remarks after I've spoken. The other thing is, you know, I think, and no one's against this tonight because anybody who's against delivering peace in Northern Ireland, we're all in this situation where we want to create a better society. We want to create less division because we do see that that has a benefit for wider society. And I think if we focus on obviously improving services, that obviously delivers a prosperity agenda, which obviously has a benefit for wider society also. And that helps create a better environment for all of us. But there are strategies in place at this moment in time anyway. The T-Buck strategy, Together Building United Communities, has been a strategy that has been obviously rolled out by the Executive Office in recent years. And there has been projects in our own district that have benefited, and our own DEAs that have benefited from that. And that's something that should be built upon. And as already been referenced as well, there is an objective about delivering peace within the programme for government as it stands. So I'm just, I suppose, a bit intrigued, like everybody else, as to why this has been brought course tonight, but again, Councillor Truesdale can obviously has the opportunity to outline that in more detail, you know, following on from my remarks at this stage. I'm not in a mind to support it because I'm just not sure what it actually entails in terms of the outworkings of it, but certainly Clonsher Truesdales, I'm sure, is going to give us the opportunity to hear more on that going forward. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Councillor Taylor. Councillor Truesdale, there's a number of questions and clarity of what the notice of motion is asking for from all parties. So I'm going to ask you to come back in and just to respond to some of the questions.
Thank you, Chair. Councillor Riley, I don't think what you're saying has anything to do with the motion. You seem to be referring to inclusion and diversity, and everything that you did say was just your opinion. Councillor Murphy, SUPB, the £1 billion that's already been put into the North, to me that sounds like a separate question. Whether it's something that you wanted to put in that sort of a motion, I don't know, but to me it sounds like a separate standalone question. It has, to answer Councillor Jarvan and Councillor Taylor and Councillor Murphy, it was discussed today, and it was discussed by Paula Bradshaw, MLA, and Matthew O'Toole also answered, saying that he agreed with the time-bound targets, and we believe that it's vital to have key things like key performance indicators, formative and summative assessments, evaluation. And then again, if you wanted to write to the executive, I think that's a perfectly reasonable ask. Councillor Bowsey, it's not one of the three missions, so there's no danger of dilution. The word commitment needs to be stronger, and we're asking for this one to be a standalone mission. Councillor Taylor, I agree with what you say about the TBUC. It's a very successful initiative within each of our DEAs. We can all see that happening all the time. But a mission on peace and peace building would ensure that reconciliation, diversity, equality and inclusion are embedded in everything the executive does. It is a fundamental component of delivering a better future here, without which many of the missions and priorities of the PSG will not be achieved. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Councillor Truesdale. I'm going to take a few more councillors in. Councillor Hannan.
Thanks, Chair. Councillor Truesdale, I don't think you've really covered the questions that we were asking as a party. I think the point we were trying to make was, number one, it is out for consultation. I attended an ILGA briefing last week where they were basically inviting councillors to come in and have a response to the programme for government, which I think is a really good mechanism to use if you do have concerns. But I think ultimately the point that is being made in the chamber is that your party were part of designing the programme for government, but you are bringing an amendment to the chamber and to the council, which is kind of at odds, because one would ask, did you have that conversation when you were actually at the table with the other executive ministers? So that's where the clarity needs to be here this evening, and I don't think that question has been answered. And I'm going to reiterate, I think NILGA is a really, really good mechanism for us to feedback either collectively or party to party or even individually if we think that there's parts of programme for government that need to be strengthened up or tightened up or added into.
Yeah, thanks, Councillor Hammond. Councillor Bowsey.
Thank you. So I know that peace isn't one of the three missions. That's why I said the three missions were people, planet and prosperity. Peace is in the programme for government. It's considered the underpinning character that encompasses all three missions. So my point was, you know, if you've read the programme of government, there are quite 80-odd pages. There are quite a number of pages devoted to peace and the different initiatives that what this council is doing, Peace Plus projects. Peace is significantly covered, and my problem is the motion implies that peace has, you know, been deliberately left out by all the ministers, as if Alliance proposed and everybody disagreed for peace to be a feature, when it has been agreed to be inserted and has given that quite prominent position. You know, the first page is all the executive minister's signatures for this draft, so your own colleagues have signed this off, and I know Naomi Longan came out and made a statement that it should have been a mission and not a commitment, you know, but it's a bit just getting into pedantics. What do you classify it as? It is in the programme, and we're content that it was hard fought to get this agreement, and we should leave it as it is.
Councillor Sherbert.
Yeah, Chair. I think it's still slightly unclear of exactly the aspirations of what the motion is aiming to achieve. And certainly from our party's perspective, at this time moment, we would need to abstain from the supporting the motion because we don't have the clarity of exactly the targets, the objectives of what the motion and the mission is hoping to achieve. And it is extremely well documented through the late John Hume, Seamus Mallon, Breach Rogers of the commitment of the SDLP to peace and peace building. And so we certainly would not want it to be interpreted that we are against it whenever we as a party have a strong history. So if there's continued misunderstanding of exactly what the motion is trying to achieve, we would be abstain.
Yep. Thanks, Councillor Sherman. And just to go back, there's no other councillors come in, Councillor Truesdale on the back of some of the comments after you spoke there. But still, councillors in the chamber not having clarity and feeling that they can't either vote on it. I don't understand what's being asked. Would there be an opportunity for you to either clear that up now or maybe relook at the motion and maybe withdraw it and take it back? It's up to yourself before the deadline of November the 4th so we can get more clarity on it, because we do the motion justice, and to do it justice, people in the chamber have to understand what they're voting on. So just go back to it. Maybe you can answer some of the questions now and go ahead.
I would be happy to withdraw the motion and to take on the advice of Councillor Hanlon and to go through the Nilga route and to come back at it that way.
Okay. Thanks very much for that, Councillor Truesdale. Okay, moving on to item 13, which is the notice of motion and sign language, and this is from Councillor Devlin. So, Councillor Devlin, if you read your motion, tell us who's seconded it, and then you can speak to us.
Thank you, Chair. So in terms of the actual wording of the motion itself, noting with regret the recent decision taken by BBC Northern Ireland to remove sign language from its lunchtime news edition and the decision to move this feature solely to its digital edition, this council stands in solidarity with members of our deaf community. We'll write to the director of BBC Northern Ireland calling for the reinstatement of sign language to this news bulletin, and we'll also write to the Minister for Communities seeking an update on the development of the awaited sign language bill so as to enshrine the right of deaf people to access services in one's own language into law. Councillor McAteer, Chair, will be seconding my motion this evening. In terms of actually speaking to the motion itself, the deaf community in Northern Ireland face various unique challenges that highlight the necessity for tailored support and services. One of the primary needs is effective communication access, which includes the availability of sign language interpreters in various settings, such as healthcare, education and public services. The recognition and promotion of British Sign Language as a legitimate language is crucial for individuals to engage fully with society. As such, the deaf community often require resources and training that empower them in advocating for their rights and accessing necessary services, hence fostering a more inclusive environment. The decision chaired by BBC Northern Ireland to withdraw sign language from their lunchtime news broadcast sends out a really poor message to those who are deaf or hearing impaired who rely on sign language to communicate with others. Our party conference was last weekend, and I had a good opportunity to speak with a representative of the National Deaf Children's Society about the impact that this decision has had on not just those who are deaf, but their wider families. Approximately 6% of our population here are deaf with British Sign Language as their primary language, yet they cannot access the TV news at the same time as others. This segment was only 90 seconds. When we look at the daily TV guide, 90 seconds is a very small proportion of the day, so I do believe this decision should be reversed. The North of Ireland places a significant focus on language and identity. Surely those who are deaf or hearing impaired deserve their needs to be met. We know that the Communities Minister is yet to publish the long-awaited Sign Language Bill, which would enshrine the rights of deaf people to access services in one's own language. Social integration and community engagement are vital as they help reduce isolation and promote a sense of belonging. Addressing these needs through targeted policies and community initiatives can greatly enhance the quality of life for deaf individuals in Northern Ireland. We know all of this, so I believe this community deserves their needs to be met by government, and this begins in their ability to access the news in their own language, as well as the publication of the long overdue Sign Language Bill, Chair. And then Councillor McAteer is hopefully going to second that.
Councillor Devlin. Councillor McAteer.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Yeah, thanks, Laura, for bringing in the motion. Unfortunately, we're witnessing once again the diminution of services to those less well-off in terms of disabilities, and even in other sectors as well, and other minorities and in Northern Ireland, which is so very, very so disappointing in that, you know, we see now that media is driven by commercial reasons, commercial terms, but dominating that whole world, and the BBC still funded 65% funding by license fees, with the rest of the money coming from the main tax trust. So there was no even consultation on that I know of out on this at all, which is even more disappointing. And you know, with the fact that it's a essentially it's a ground up funded organisation, they should be obliged to cater for minorities in a more respectful manner. And the escape clause they use in this one is that, oh, it's going to be signed across on the digital platform. But, you know, if we look around, it's not everybody in particular age bands are au fait with the digital platforms. And that's another message out there, that those minorities are going to be forgotten and being forgotten. And the BBC always had a great, respectful organisation in looking after minorities and reaching out. And it still does in some ways, but we can see that there's a chipping away of some of those lesser use facilities. And if someone's sitting in a house and, you know, depending on keeping up with the world, and that particular outlet has been stripped away from them, quite disgraceful, really, when you look at it. So I think we would hopefully write to them, and again write to them, ask them to look at this again with some humanity. Future.
Thanks, Councillor McAteer. Councillor Taylor.
Yeah, Chair, very, very happy to support the motion that has been brought tonight by Councillor Devlin. I was very disappointed when I read of the decision by BBC Northern Ireland to remove sign language from its lunchtime news bulletin. It's been part and parcel of that programme for as long as I can remember, and it obviously provides a vital outlet for the deaf community in terms of being fully kept informed about, you know, news of the day within Northern Ireland. So it's pretty poor form that our public broadcaster has decided to take this decision. And as a public broadcaster, it should be paramount that they ensure that their productions reach out to all sections of our community, and that nobody should be discriminated against by decisions that have been taken such as this. So I certainly hope that they take the opportunity to rethink where they are on this. It's a very regrettable step that they've taken, and I really can't get, you know, the mindset that has delivered this proposal. But say, I do hope to take the opportunity to reflect and change their position as to where they are on it. And obviously happy as well for the Minister of Communities to be corresponded with. Again, I think we'd all aspire to see a sign language bill implemented as soon as possible. And again, to protect the rights of the deaf community in terms of, you know, access to services. So hopefully we can get some clarification as to where things are in terms of the time frame and delivering that as well. So happy to support, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. Quite honestly, I noticed this the very first day that this actually took place, Laura. I cook my dinner, so I do a start at 1 o'clock, and it takes me to 1:30 to cook my dinner. And by the time I sit down to eat my dinner, so I do, Ulster News is usually on, the Northern Ireland News is usually on. And to be quite honest, Wiki, I think it's one of the best things that can happen, in that it makes it as inclusive as possible. That word inclusive. I know I have slight problems with my hearing, so I do, too many people talk to me at once, I can't hear anybody. But in saying that, anyone that's deaf, it is a handicap, so it is, and to be included is so important, so it is. We need to actually expand this as much as possible. I don't know if Marie's intending to do it in the council here, council chamber, or why she does it even when it's online, but there is an interest, so there is, and possibly, I don't know what the idea was of removing it. I think it was probably financial, so it couldn't be that expensive, so it couldn't, and the huge money that we have there. So there's Nolan, what's he getting, about £500,000 a year, say, is. I'm sure he wouldn't miss £100,000 out of it. But something like that there is so important to those people that are in our community. I'm not sure what percentage of the community is. 6% is actually, is that deaf completely or just challenged with it here? Yeah. Well, 6% of the community deserve to be as included as much as anybody else. So, Chair, we will be supporting this.
Thank you. Councillor Hannan.
Yeah, thanks. And thanks to Councillor Devlin for bringing the motion. I think for us, it opens up a wider conversation as well in regards to how inclusive society is to people who have hearing challenges. I know the BBC tried to kind of caveat it with a digital offering, but as we all know in the South Down area and Armagh, that there can be pretty interrupted coverage for broadband, etc. And also, not everybody has digital, believe it or not. Like, some people are still on the analogue. So they are actually going to be being very detrimental to a large section of the community. As I say, I think it opens up a wider debate. And I do, having looked at it today, it appears to me, and I could stand corrected, that the sign language bill hasn't actually been debated for many, many years in Stormont. So I think it's right and proper that we do write to the Minister for Communities and ask for an update of where it's at. I know the UK has been under the legislation there since 2022, but we are, well, I think it's 2022, I'm going off the top of my head, but you know, we're lagging behind there. So I think it's, I would be happy to second that proposal to go and write to the Minister and get an update.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor Hanlon. Councillor Truesdale.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Councillor Devlin, for bringing this motion. We will definitely be supporting it. And I think what Glyn said was correct. This move is part of a BBC regional cost-cutting exercise, and they've said that the move coincided with Newsline becoming part of an extended 60-minute UK-wide news programme. And they also said the language summary will now have a new home on the News Northern Ireland website and app, but not everyone can access their news online. There's more than 300,000 people are deaf, have hearing loss or tinnitus in Northern Ireland. There are 4,500 BSL users with a further 1,500 ISL users. I'm very fortunate to have links with freelance interpreters and members of the deaf community, and they have nothing but praise for the previous Sinn Féin ministers and the current DUP Minister for Communities with pushing the sign language forward. So this is a huge shock for everybody. All deaf people have the right to access the programmes and receive information at the same time as hearing people to counter misinformation and fake news. Currently, there's no Northern Ireland sign language bill. It's devolved, and the legislation passed on this issue does not extend. But I would like to propose a very small amendment, because this was a part of a BBC regional move, that we also write to the Director General of the BBC, if that was acceptable, Chair.
So can you just repeat that last thing?
To also write to the Director General of the BBC.
Councillor Devlin.
Yeah, that's fine, Chair. No problem with that. I think in the motion, I'd have the Director, obviously, of BBC Northern Ireland, but more than happy to take on that on board as well, Chair.
Okay, thanks. So everybody, all parties have spoken, everybody's in agreement. Just hand back to yourself, Laura, to want to summarise.
Yes, we'll just briefly thank everybody for input. It's very much appreciated, and we look forward to the responses coming back from the various bodies, and hopefully it might try and make a bit of a difference. Thank you, Chair. Thanks, everybody.
Okay, thanks, Councillor Devlin. Okay, so as I said to start, we've got an emergency notice of motion from Councillor Feehan, and it requires suspension on the standing order 16.1. Where we have to reach a qualified majority vote of 80% of the members present. So I'm going to hand over to Sarah to go through the vote.
Chair, Sarah's losing her voice. Sarah's losing her voice, so I'm going to do this. So Councillor Andrews is absent. Councillor Brizey?
Against.
Councillor Brennan?
Yes. Four, sorry.
Councillor Byrne?
Four.
Councillor Campbell is absent. Councillor Clark?
Four.
Councillor Devlin? Four. Councillor Enright?
Four.
Councillor Feehan? Councillor Finn is absent. Councillor Finnegan?
Four.
Councillor Galbraith?
Four.
Councillor Gibbons, Councillor Hanlon, Councillor Hanna, Councillor Hart,
four,
Councillor Hoyle,
four.
Apologies, Councillor Hart,
Councillor Hoyle's online, we've just ratified tonight the ability to join online. So, sorry, Councillor Hoyle, you can't participate in the meeting. So record that just as an absent. Councillor Hoyle is absent. Councillor Jackson? Councillor Kearns?
Four.
Councillor King?
Four.
Councillor Larkin?
Four.
Councillor Lee Surgner?
Four.
Councillor Lewis?
I got against.
Councillor McGuinness?
Four.
Councillor Mathers?
Four.
Councillor McAteer?
Four.
Councillor McAvoy? Absent. Councillor O'Hare?
Four.
Councillor Declan Murphy?
Four.
Councillor Kate Murphy? Absent. Councillor Selena Murphy?
Four.
Councillor Quinn?
Four.
Councillor Riley?
Against.
Councillor Rice?
Four.
Councillor Rowan?
Four.
Councillor Sharvin?
Four.
Councillor Taylor?
Against.
Councillor Tinley is absent. Councillor Truesdale? And Councillor Young?
Four.
So that's 27 for and 6 against. So the proposal is carried to hear the emergency notice. Yes, you're right. Apologies. Just bear with me a second.
See who's absent.
No, it probably hasn't actually.
How many is in the room?
There's
5.
7.
It has made it. It's 81.8%. Okay. If 27 out of 33 is 81%. 33 present and voting, so it's 81.8%. 27 out of 33.
So, with that correction, it does make a qualified majority vote.
Okay. So, that's the qualified majority met. So, Councillor Fahan, I'm going to hand over to yourself. To read out the motion, tell us who's seconded and then speak the motion.
Thank you, Chair. The motion is that this Council notes that the Northern Ireland Local Government Pension Provider, NILGOSC, purchased government bonds from the Israeli government which are being used by the Tel Aviv administration to fund its operations both within Israel and other territories. As the pension provider for all local council workers, the Education Authority, the Northern Ireland Housing Executive, NI Libraries, and many others, including schools, it is a shock to so many of the 176,000 members of this pension scheme that it is directly funding the Netanyahu-led government. And given the widespread horror felt by people of all political backgrounds at the targeting of civilians and children by the Israeli government in the war in Gaza, the use of workers' and public sector money in a loan to the Israeli government is unacceptable. Newry, Mourne and Down District Council expresses its deep concern at the decision to purchase these bonds and calls on NILGOSC to dispose of them immediately. And the motion will be seconded by Councillor Galbraith. Chair, the news when I saw it reported in press that these bonds form part of an investment portfolio were quite shocking to me, and I'm sure shocking to the tens of thousands of other workers that are paying their pension contributions into this fund. The bonds, in essence, act as an investment loan to the Israeli government that has overseen the death of more than 42,000 Palestinians, more than half of whom are women and children, over the past year. The motion that we're deliberating on tonight was passed by Belfast City Council. And I would urge councillors here tonight to follow suit and to add our voice to theirs in rejecting the superannuation fund holding such bonds. I mean, the sheer scale of human suffering that we've seen in Gaza over the last 12 months has caused widespread horror among people of all political backgrounds, and I personally cannot countenance anyone advocating that pension contributions from public sector workers should fund that suffering. As far as I'm concerned, there is a clear-cut moral imperative here. Personally, I'm not prepared to stay silent while my pension contributions and those of 176,000 other public sector workers in the north are being used to fund a government that is currently under investigation for genocide at the International Court of Justice. My party colleague in Belfast, Carol White, requested that these bonds be divested and was basically told to get lost by NILGOSC, that this was a political call and they had a fiduciary duty which allowed them to defend this purchase, which essentially sees the North's public sector workers, its public employees and employers contribute to the Tel Aviv administration, which is an additional slap on the face when you consider how vociferous public sector workers and trade unions have been in the context of solidarity for Palestine. But my view is, no matter what your political background, none of us should be able to stand over this evening. So I would urge all councillors to back the motion and add our voice to those calling for the bonds to be dropped. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Councillor Payne. And seconded by Councillor Cuthbert. Happy to second. Okay, Councillor King.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And thanks, Councillor Payne, for bringing this motion forward. Over the years, there have been motions brought to this chamber in relation to divesting from unethical companies which receive full support. As members, we have been provided with assurances that pension funds are ethical. And if this is not the case, it is a very worrying situation. Sinn Féin recently tabled an ethical procurement policy motion proposing that no council awards any contracts or utilises services provided by companies involved in breaching human rights and international law. This initiative comes at a time when corporations are profiting from protracted armed conflict and systematic violations of human rights. Sinn Féin deplores that any business should profit from these conflicts or the violations of human rights, or that our local councils will be in any way, potentially directly or indirectly, complicit with such profiteering. This policy needs to be reviewed and implemented as a matter of priority and encourage companies to meet their human rights obligations and empower councils to meet international human rights principles and guidelines. Last Wednesday night, Sinn Féin and the people in Uri, South Armagh and South Down once again assembled, demonstrating solidarity for the people of Palestine. And we amplified the call for boycott, divestment and sanctions because this occupation thrives on global complicity and it's up to us to disrupt it. So once again, Councillor Fahey, thanks for bringing this motion forward and we're glad to support it.
Thank you, Councillor King. Councillor Hanna.
Thanks, Chair. I, for one, will not be supporting this motion and to be quite honest, I'm disappointed that the Council has brought this on the anniversary of the massacre of all those Israelis who were brutally massacred. So they were, I couldn't even get into describing the way they were brutally murdered. At music concerts and just living their ordinary lives in their own homes and in places like that there. For this Council even to be debating it tonight is a disappointment, so it is. Investments are a thing, to be quite honest with you, that do we get involved in, do we not, whether it's ethical or not. I honestly don't know, but just the sensitivity of this tonight is beyond belief. So it is, those 1,000+ people that was killed on that day, no defence whatsoever, just beyond belief. So it is, and I will definitely not be supporting this motion.
Councillor Hannah, Councillor Taylor.
Yeah, Chair, I obviously won't be supporting the motion either. People should be hearing it tonight. And probably the first thing that did strike me, actually, whenever I read that it would be coming forward before the meeting tonight, was similar to what Councillor Hannah has referenced, was the fact that it was taking place on the anniversary that thousands of Israelis and families are mourning and remembering their loved ones who are massacred and murdered, maimed by Hamas terrorists on this day 1 year ago. And I do wonder, was there any thought given to that when this was brought forward? And we've seen probably throughout the day many of those families remembering their loved ones and the pain and the heartache that they're going through as a result of what happened 1 year ago. And there is, that's right, Councillor Hannah, there are still many of those that were kidnapped on that day 1 year ago, still in captivity, and nobody knows their fate at this moment in time, and there are fears about that, obviously, because we've seen with other hostages what happened to them also. So I'm always conscious that the Middle East debate is a very sensitive subject for everybody in here, and we always should be responsible in our language, but I just am concerned about the fact that this has been brought on the anniversary, and I am concerned that if there was any thought given to that before it was brought forward here tonight. The one thing I would say is, though, that the scheme that we talk about, you're not compelled, as far as I understand, to remain within it. And if somebody has any concerns or they feel compelled strong enough to take what they term to be a principal stand on something, you can remove yourself at any stage. And if you want to do that, that's fair enough. We all make our own personal decisions in terms of pensions and finance and whatever it may be. But if someone feels so strongly about a particular issue, they have that option as well without trying to tie every councillor in the chamber here in to that. Because we all have different views about the Middle East political situation. And we have debated it on numerous occasions within this chamber before. But I don't think we should find ourselves in a situation where everybody's been forced to go into a particular position. And I don't think Nilgosk will actually, you know, take a stand that's wanting to be outlined here tonight also, because I know in previous motions of similar vein where they've been talking about commercial decisions, they have said it's not something that they're going to get into with, you know, recommendations received from councillors. So just to say, I won't be supporting the motion. I am disappointed it has been brought here tonight.
Councillor Taylor, Councillor Jackson.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, just first of all, I just want to reiterate how disappointing and outrightly disrespectful it is to be bringing this motion tonight on the first anniversary of the terrorist attacks upon Israel and the heinous crimes that was committed on that day. It is pure grandstanding at its finest. The NIL GOSC is under a fiduciary duty not to invest or divest for political reasons. And this small holding of Israeli government bonds also represents less than 0.007% of the total fund. Disposing of these investments purely out of hatred for Israel wouldn't even be legal. Furthermore, it could generate significant uncertainty for pension scheme owners themselves. The Democratic Unionist Party deplores every loss of innocent life, and we are clear that there is no justification for the targeted killing of civilians, the use of civilians as human shields, or the taking of civilian hostages. Hamas is a proscribed organisation in the United Kingdom, Republic of Ireland, the European Union and the United States. In this context, we support Israel's right to defend it and its population from acts of terrorism. So we will not, as a DUP group, be supporting this motion here tonight. Thank you, Chair.
Excellent. Councillor Sherman. Barney, if you can just hit your light. Councillor Sherman.
Yeah, Chair. I wasn't planning on speaking. I think the motion spoke for itself, but I think it's important that we address some of the comments that have been directed to my fellow party colleague. If councillors are mindful, this is the first council meeting that has become available since the information has been shared. So it is not that we are insensitive in any way. We as a party have called out that it is a horrific incident that occurred at this time a year ago. I think it's unfair for anyone to say that we haven't called that out, and we continuously call out that it was wrong, and any violence at all, two wrongs do not make a right. I think it's also, again, to reiterate, this is the first council meeting, so it's not that we are being insensitive, but this is the first opportunity that we have been able to bring this motion to a council. So that is the reason why it's here tonight. If it had been on a different day, you wouldn't have raised, sorry Glenn, if it had been a different day, you wouldn't have been able to use that comment to justify your views. But that's your comments.
David.
Sorry, David. You said that it was insensitive tonight to bring it, given that it is 1 year anniversary since that incident. That is how I interpreted it in your words. But again, what I can say is we have brought it at the first opportunity since the information came available, and it is our view that it is not the right exercise to do, and that is why it is here. So it is our views, that is it. And what we also say and continue to say is what happened is horrific, and we recall that there would be peace established. I think that's what the purpose of it all is.
Councillor Truesdale.
Thank you, Chair.
Can we keep our comments through the microphone system, please, Councillor Truesdale?
Thank you. We just have a concern that immediate divestment could immediately place their pensions in jeopardy. Thank you for bringing the motion, first of all. So I would ask that you consider the following sentence to go in as well, that we engage immediately with pension holders about disposal of the bonds and work to develop an ethical investments framework to consider for all future investments. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Councillor Troisdale. Mm-hmm. You got a second for that, Councillor Troisdale?
I'll second that.
Councillor Fehan, do you accept the amendment?
Councillor Truesdale, I have no issue in principle with what you're suggesting. The only clarity that I would be looking for is around. See, I don't want any amendment to take away from the need to press the urgent nature of disposing of the bonds. If you're happy to maybe rephrase your proposal so that they're dispose of, yes, I'm happy to take your point about ethical considerations for going forward, but I wouldn't want to move away from the bonds needing to be disposed of as a matter of urgency. Thank you.
Councillor Troisdale.
After immediately the word and. Engage immediately with pension holders about disposal of the bonds and work to develop an ethical framework investment to consider for all future investments.
Councillor Fehan, if you just use your microphone.
I'd be happy to accept if it was rather than pension holders, NILG OSC, who are administering the portfolio to drop them and work with them for an ethical framework. I'd be fine with that.
Yes, I'd be happy with that.
Okay. Yep. Can we have that? Can we just take a second from the proposer to send that through to Sarah here so that we can share it with all the people present in the chamber to take other speakers in on the amendment, the warden of the amendment. Okay, and let other speakers come in just while we're doing that. Hold on. We'll just take in order to get this sent across.
Sarah has just sent the amendment or the proposed amendment to all councillors. Councillor Fian in particular, can you ensure that that is what you're supporting? You're confirming that it is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's just the addendum to the end of the motion. Yes, happy with that.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's the amendment accepted. Councillor Riley was next. Councillor Riley.
Yeah, Chairman. It is unfortunate that it was raised on the anniversary of the 7th of October. But I'm a father and a grandfather. And whenever I see children, and I don't care if they're Jew or Gentile or Palestinian or Israeli, it breaks my heart. It literally brings tears to my eyes whenever I see children blown to bits. It's just a terrible situation in the Middle East. And the governments of the world be working to resolve this issue and try to get some form of peace out there, a long-term peace that guarantees Israeli security and also facilitates the aspirations of the Palestinian people, because they've been there for a long, long time as well. And I just wanted to say that it just absolutely breaks my heart to see those children on both sides being killed. We suffered terrorism in our own country here for a long time, and I know what it's like when a family loses a loved one because of a deliberate act of violence. It is a horrific and traumatic thing for any family to endure. And just to think of the large numbers of people getting killed at the minute in the Middle East, it really does break my heart, and I just wish it would stop. But in terms of divesting from pension funds, I think we've already gone against fossil fuels, which was a major earner for pension funds. We're against a whole series of different things. And I object very strongly to the likes of Pfizer and a lot of the big pharmaceutical companies who deliberately misled people into taking a experimental vaccine that has caused massive amounts of disability now within society. You know, do we instruct the pension fund to divest from the likes of those pharmaceutical companies that are very unethical? And all the scientific reports, all the political reports that you're reading about it now demonstrates that it has caused more harm than good, what happened over lockdown. So we have to be, do we just divest from everything that we don't like or take umbrage with? Because if we do that, we'll end up, there'll be no pension fund for anyone. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Riley. Yeah, that's everyone who has indicated to speak. So the motion as amended, can we get a show of hands for those who are supporting the motion?
Can I come back in? Can I come back in?
Okay, go ahead, Councillor Fien.
Chair, I didn't want to miss the opportunity there to come back just before you go to a vote. I want to make something really, really entirely crystal clear for the avoidance of doubt or confusion or ambiguity in the future. The Hamas attacks on the 7th of October were unspeakably wicked, vile, cruel, and entirely evil. I believe that as much now as what I did when I first saw them. There were more than a few things that were said in the back and forward that I would take issue with, that I would take objection with. Chief amongst them is that I am grandstanding on this issue. That's a wee bit below the belt, like Councillor Byrne, like Councillor King. This is not an issue on which I am an armchair activist. I have spent six summers volunteering on the West Bank with Palestinian people. These are not characters on a TV screen. They are not abstract notions or statistics that roll up after the end of the 10 o'clock news. These are people that I know, that I care about, that I have known some of them from when they were children. I have been welcomed into their homes. I have sat down and I have broken bread with them. I am in contact with them almost every day, and not just because we are friends, but because I am concerned about their safety. So the implication of the accusation that I am grandstanding is totally and utterly detached from the truth, and also a wee bit ironic, given the chorus coming from some members this evening. I'm not going to make any apology for standing up and speaking out for people that mean something to me. I'm not going to apologise for standing up and speaking out on an issue that is of cardinal importance to the people that I represent. I, again, will close by how I started these subsequent remarks. I unequivocally condemn the actions of Hamas on the 7th of October, because I abhor all violence in all of its forms against all innocent people. That's why I am a member of the SDLP and have been since I was a teenager. So, you know, I'm not going to bow to the criticism that's been levelled at me this evening, because I know that this is the right thing to do, and there's never a wrong time to do the right thing. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you for that, Councillor Fahan. Okay, so can we move to a vote by a show of hands on supporting the motion as amended? Those against? Six against, and no abstentions, so that's motion carried.
Thank you. That concludes the meeting for this evening. Thank you very much for your participation, and safe journey home.